Slavery is back.
Welcome to a place where private business profit from a captive labour force, yet pennies are spent on medical services to a population in which the Indigenous, the poor and the mentally ill are overrepresented. Where isolation, humiliation and degradation are facts of life. Welcome to prison.
It depends who's telling the story, I suppose. The prisoners would have one view, the people who work in the prison system would have another, and I think it's up to people to decide where the truth is.
Give government propaganda and the media spin doctors the flick. And check out Doin' Time for news, views and tunes on prison issues from Guantanamo Bay to Christmas Island to prisons and detention centres everywhere. Every Monday at 4 p.m. on your community radio 3CR.
We are still fired up and we're still talking about revolution.
Hello and welcome to the Doin' Time Show. This is 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM on the dial, streaming live on www.3cr.org.au. And a warning that this episode of Doin' Time contains audio descriptions of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who have died and graphic discussion of deaths in custody. On this week on Doin' Time, we will bring you speeches from the March for Forests on the 22nd of March 2026, organised by the Bob Brown Foundation and emceed by Violet Coco. Stay tuned to listen to these really amazing speeches from the march.
First, be introducing Gabrielle DaVici and Ellen from the Greens. Now, these two women here are adamant defenders of our forests in that place that likes to destroy them. And we are so grateful to have representation there that is declaring to end native forest logging and to protect our native forests. So you give them a very warm welcome.
And thank you to the Bob Brown Foundation for having us here today. I'm Gabrielle DaVietri. I'm the member for Richmond, and Ellen Sandal is the leader of the Victorian Greens and the member for Melbourne. We want to start by adding our acknowledgement that this is Wurundjeri land, that sovereignty over this land was never ceded, and this always was, always will be Aboriginal land. The same colonial mindset that led to the dispossession of the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people of this land is the same mindset that has led our governments to see our forests as a mere commodity for wood chips and minerals. Over many, many years, First Nations communities, activists, advocates, our communities have fought to end native forest logging. And so as a first term MP this year in the Victorian Parliament, I was over the moon, as were many of you, when we heard the announcement from the Labor government that they would, after so much public pressure, end native forest logging. And that announcement is thanks to all of you, to everyone who locked onto a tree, who sat in a tree, who advocated, who wrote to the government, who never gave up on our native forests. And it's no wonder that they now want to ban protesting, that they want to crack down on your democratic rights because you have been so effective. And when I look around today and see the joy and the passion and the conviction that you bring to saving native forests, I can understand why it cannot be beaten. But of course, the duplicity of this Labor government is evident in so many things that they do. And this announcement, unfortunately, has not been carried out to its full extent, because we know that despite that announcement, native forest logging still continues in so many forms and under different names. Here's the political context. In 2025 to 2026, the Australian Labor government gave $16.3 billion in subsidies to the fossil fuel industry. That's an increase of almost 10%. It's 14 times Australia's disaster recovery fund, and it far outpaces the investment growth in any of our social services, whether it's childcare, aged care, other social services, the NDIS. And it shows to me that Labor's priorities are clear: polluters over people, profits over the planet. Here in Victoria, Labor has approved 5 new fossil fuel projects in the last 2 months. Our biodiversity, climate, forests and social justice are inextricably linked. When our ecology collapses, it is the people who are pushed to the margins who will suffer the first and the most. Older people, people from migrant backgrounds, renters and people in insecure housing, those are the ones who are going to feel it. And so further destruction of our planet means a less livable future for everyone. It creates a future of climate refugees where only the wealthy can buy their way to safety. I feel like I've brought the mood down a little bit, so maybe, Ellen, you can have a little bit more hope. But there is hope. When I look around you, I see the hope for a better future for everyone. And together we call on the state and federal Labor governments to end native forest for good, to protect our planet, to stop opening up new coal and gas projects. I'd like to give a shout out to the Bob Brown Foundation and, of course, you know, Greens legend Bob Brown. Your commitment to the forest has never wavered. And to the wonderful team who organised this event today, Bob taught us that no forest is too remote and no government too big to be challenged. So another shout out to all the activists and advocates who have worked so long, and many of whom who can't be here today because you're locked on yourselves. Thank you so much for all the work that you've done. Thanks, Gab, and Maya, you are all a sight for sore eyes. You look absolutely beautiful. 25 years ago, I was a student just down the road at Melbourne Uni, and I had a man from the Wilderness Society come in and talk to us as a group of students about exactly what was happening in Victoria's native forest, just an hour or an hour and a half north of this spot. And he talked about the absolute destruction, the clear felling, the beautiful, biodiverse, unique forests turned into moonscapes that nothing can survive on. And he talked about that not only was this state government destroying our forests, but taxpayers were paying for the privilege because we subsidised that destruction. And when I went out and saw that for myself with my own eyes, it was so stark, it was so devastating that I committed myself right then and there that this is what I would spend my life fighting to save, to stop, and these forests were what I would fight to protect. And I started out with a group of ratbags and friends on direct action, out in the forest, in tree sits, locking on, taking the kind of action that we needed in the forest to stop the diggers and the bulldozers in their tracks, while at the same time working on the political fight here in Melbourne to show the government that this was something the community did not support. And so many of you have been part of that fight, and it's so nice to see so many friends and comrades in that fight here today. 10, 15 years later, I find myself in the Victorian Parliament in a situation where native forest logging was still happening despite all of that work. But it was an absolute joy to be in that Parliament when the news came through that the native forest logging industry had pretty much collapsed and could no longer continue. But let's be really clear.
This decision to end large-scale commercial logging in Victoria didn't happen because the Labor Party woke up one morning and realised they were wrong. It happened because we had citizen scientists out in those forests surveying week on week. It happened because we had people in tree sits and locking on, preventing those bulldozers from going in and making it harder for the logging to happen. It happened because we had people taking the government to court and the industry to court, and it happened because we had activists at every single level doing the work to get in the way of this industry and make it stop. That's why it happened, and that is due to all of you. So there is hope, because we know that if it can happen here in Victoria, it can happen in the other states where logging is still continuing, like New South Wales and elsewhere. But we also know that the fight here in Victoria is not finished, because we still have so many loopholes that are allowing native forest logging to continue under the guise of salvage logging or cleanup activities or fire suppression or any other number of names that they like to call it now. And so we know that the fight is not over, and that this Labor government will not close those loopholes and will not end this destructive industry for good unless we force them, unless we make them. That's exactly what we're here to do. I know it's what you're here to do. And Gab and I and others will not stop the fight in Parliament, and I know you will not stop the fight on the streets and in the forests. And we thank you for it. And November, there is a state election, and this is another moment where we need to force the government's hand to say, we will not stand for the destruction of these ancient ecosystems, these songlines, these homes for endangered species, and the things that give us all life. Thank you for being here.
Most important thing right now. We are in a climate and ecological emergency, and our actions today and every day impact the livability of our planet for ourselves and for generations to come. And forests are carbon sinks. They're some of the best carbon sinks, and they also old forests stop fire in their tracks. Young forests that have been cut and logged, they burn much easier than older forests. So we've got to protect forests, because that actually stops fires from being so bad. They also stop flooding. So if a flood's coming and you have just agricultural land, flat forest, and nothing but grass, hard grass from hooves pushing it down, the water just runs straight off and into our rural cities. Whereas if you have a forest there, it actually absorbs all of that moisture. Forests are medicine. They have all of our medicine in them. They also give us all of this beautiful air to breathe. But what do forests ever do for us, yeah? Forests are essential for our future, and that's why our next speaker is from School Strike for Climate. They've been an active frontline activist. I met them in this very park, or was it in Carlton Gardens? This park, it was in this park right near here. We were with Extinction Rebellion. Shout out for Extinction Rebellion, Extinction!
Rebellion!
Woo! So we were in this very park here. We were camped out for a whole week, and Ollie turned up, and my good friend Ollie, come up here, Ollie. Ollie turned up in his school uniform with his prefect badge on and said, I want to help save the planet. And we said, Ollie, we want to help save the planet for you too. And since then, we've marched together, we've fought together. Come up here, beautiful. So everyone, make what Ollie feel welcome.
Over to you, my friend.
Well, I'm a bit tech-savvy, so I don't have a piece of paper like you, but I'll try and get the same emotion through. First, I wanted to acknowledge the people that were the land that we're on, the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. They looked after this land for tens of thousands of years, and we have a duty to them to look after the lands as well. And I also wanted to acknowledge the Bunurong people of the Kulin Nation. They're the people of the land that I have come and travelled from today. They are currently fighting against sand mining that is destroying our native forest down in the Western Port Woodlands, and it is a shame that we have to continue to mention this every time. But it's still happening, and we still need to fight for it. Native forests need to be protected, and we have a responsibility to protect them. Our leaders have shown that they are irresponsible and cannot be trusted with the power that they have. Because when the people have to step in and fight for themselves, then it shows that a systematic failure of our government has occurred. We are here today because of those failures. Because of one thing we have that they don't, and that is a fucking conscience and a spine. Woo! We know the importance of these forests. We understand that when they are chopped down, homes are lost for animals that live in those forests, and that we lose carbon capture. So not only are we losing those homes, we are making what is happening, these hot days, these worsened floods, we are making them happen more often and more often. I want to remind everyone that right now, Anthony Albanese and Jacinta Allen are not at these rallies. They are not here. They are sitting in their offices enjoying $500,000 a year. I want to remind people of this because together, united, we are powerful. Not only as people, but also as students. Because the only thing I care about is not the power of a prime minister. It's not the power of a premier. It's the power of the people. Because that power is the most power you will ever feel. It's the power standing here watching thousands of people cram into a garden. Or hundreds of people. I don't know. I'm not the best at maths, but I can count. There's a lot of people here. I also think it's important to take note of who else is here. We've got Greens councillors from Bass Coast, we've got Greens MPs. Where's the Labor and Liberal MPs? I don't see them. Raise your hand if you're a Greens MP, if you're a Labor MP, if you're an MP in Parliament, raise your hand here now. I see two. Anyone else? Georgie Purcell? No? Makes sense. So why am I taking attendance? Because it's crucial to understand what parties are actually fighting for us and who is avoiding their responsibility as the party in power. These parties avoiding responsibility should be ashamed. Absolutely. They are allowing the destruction of the land and of my own future. Shame on you, Jacinta. Shame on my local MP, Jordan Crignale, who has continued to dodge accountability and questions from me. I wanted to talk about a song. Some of you may know it. It's pretty popular by Midnight Oil. It's called Power and the Passion. The lyric that I want to focus on is the line, "It's better to die on your feet than live on your knees." I think most people here know that line. That line has been mulling around my head for quite a while because it's true. It is true that it is better for us to fight for what is right than to sit down and allow them to just run over us. We are rejecting the status quo because the only thing that it was built for is for the 1% and the major corporations coming over from overseas to destroy our land like Adani did back in 2019.
Woo!
Shame.
Shame.
Anything helps, whether you're a student, whether you're a parent, whether you're a politician, whether you're a grandmother coming down here, everything helps. And that is why School Strike for Climate is back.
Yeah. Woo!
Students will be striking Wednesday the 22nd of April at 2 p.m. at the State Library, and everyone here should show up. Yeah. Everyone here who knows a student, get them to show up and get those students to tell other students to show up so we can get as many people as possible. Because we will not settle for band-aid solutions. We will not settle for weasel words by our politicians who don't give a shit about us. I'm going to leave a little chat because it's always fun to do that. When native forests are under attack, what do we do?
Stand up, fight back.
I said, what do we do?
Stand up, fight back.
I want it as loud as possible for all of NAM to hear. When native forests are under attack, what do we do?
Stand up.
I said, what do we do?
Stand up.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Violet. Thank you, Brad, for getting me up here.
So Izzo is a Masters of Law student at Monash University and specialises in global society and human rights. She is passionate about human rights, forest protection and environmental justice, with a focus on safeguarding the Lusa ecosystem in Sumatra. Her experience, yes, give her a round of applause. You know, we can protect native forests here, but we need also a global solution. So Izzo is here to advocate for the global situation, but also the local situation to Izzo, what's close to her heart. Her experience spans legal aid, environmental work, including policy advocacy on women's rights and involvement in forest protection initiatives. Go Izzo!
Thank you so much for the opportunity. It is my first time to talk in front of this lot of people, not in my country. It is in Australia, in Melbourne. Good morning, everyone. And I would like to start with a simple question. What did you have for breakfast? Maybe you got a salad, or maybe fruit, or maybe toast, like just simple everyday things, right? But there is something we rarely think about, that every single one of those things begin in a forest. And that forest is not something far away to talk about. It is something that sustains our life. It is something that provides us with food, with clean water that we use every day. I'm Izzo. I come from Aceh, the northern tip of Sumatra, Indonesia. And today, let me bring you to the Lusar ecosystem in my homeland. Lusar ecosystem is a vast and irreplaceable 2.6 million hectares of rainforest. It is the last place on the earth where the critically endangered Sumatran tiger, rhino, orangutan, and elephant still live together in the wild. And more than that, it is a strategic landscape that supports the hydrological system and millions of livelihoods of the people of Sumatra. But last year, there is something devastating happened. It's a major flash flood and landslide hit Sumatra. It caused more than 1,000 people lost their lives. More than 1,900 people were displaced. School and hospital were damaged, and the entire community left in crisis up until today. And that's not a number. That's my people who live in Sumatra, whose forest being cut down by the private sectors.
Shame!
Shame!
Shame! Shame!
And all of that happened because of the deforestations that happened in Sumatra. In the name of economic development, in the name of economic growth, the narrative that always told to us, that always tells us that it is more important than the protections of ecosystem. Shame! And let's be clear, it is an organized deforestation. It is structural issues. It is the forestry crimes. And it's happened in a very well organized supply chain from the forest to the industry and to the market. And then now we ask, is there something to do with Australia? Yes, it is, because the major driven of the deforestation is because the mining and the palm oil plantation that done by the private sectors. And the shocking news is this private sectors is funded by four
Australian bank. Shame.
Shame.
So it is not only the protection of ecosystem, but it is also the protections of lives, of humanity, of a countless innocent lives of species that live in that ecosystem. And let me bring us back to something as simple as the breakfast that we have today. Because the same forest that is being destroyed is the same forest that provide us with clean water, with food, with safe place to live, that sustain our life. So it is our responsibility to protect it and to defend it. Thank you. Thank you so much, Issa. So powerful to hear about these different places in the world and the different struggles and the ways that it impacts different communities. So give Issa another big round of applause. It is my absolute pleasure and honor to welcome to the stage Robbie Thorpe. Robbie Thorpe is a powerful activist and has defended country, defended people, defended nation, and Claude as well is both going to come up and share with you their story about the forest and about country. Thank you so much.
We all have a right to exist. And you could say the tree of life, water and the elements, family tree even. It has its roots. We're connected to land. It's all connected, it's all symbiotic. Even us humans are symbiotic. But since the, the Industrial Revolution and the exponential financial system, everything's a commodity. Even us people are commoditized. Ecocide is a worldwide issue for trees, water, land clearing. That was the first ecocide when they come here and colonise. I'm a black fella and they're tree fellas. You know? But it is what it is now, and they've got to protect what's left. I'm a Wabalung, the lawman of my Wajibalik nation, God's country. And up there at the moment, we've got these multinationals and conglomerates of all sorts coming in with zero net. It all sounds lovely putting up big turbines, and then you've got rare earths at the same time. And this Victorian government's absolutely criminal in giving a rare earths tenement and then fast track straight over that tenement VNI West transmission lines and things like that. And they all sound beautiful, these things, for the environment, but not when they're building them along our waterways, Yarrumbeack Creek or my country. They're coming in really thick and fast, all fast track, all non-disclosure. Some our Aboriginal corporations, they're just like to sign off and stuff. It's disgusting. And that's the Murray-Darling Basin, and these fires are a bit, you know, a bit SUS. We just owned 140,000 hectares from South Australia to over our country in Wajibali. It's a big country. Our country goes over the South Australian border from Moyen all the way down to Garriwad. And it all just went up in the last bushfires, 140,000 hectares, and birds were falling out of the sky, our cockatoos, our totems, and all the emus, all that life of she-oak. All the she-oak is just dead. And some areas will never recover in big and little deserts. Won't recover. And other areas, as the seeds are falling, there may be life. Then we got our Wilcar dingoes, very rare out there. Everything's starving, all the lizards, you had to drop bark for cover so they could survive and breed. We had volunteers doing that. Then all the old she-oak was burning underground. It's still burning underground now, as we speak. And that was a year ago. And we still got these fires underground. And to me, what's going on here? You've got to question everything. They're after our water. They've been buying water up 10 years in advance. And then all of a sudden, kaboom, we're doing rare earths, and the byproduct is uranium at Rupanyup, and everything in its way gets knocked down, and our old trees and the water gets done over by, what do you call it, there's fine plastics, or as it breaks down, and they're building them all along the Yarramvik Creek, all along over the Murray, and it's just like their path, there's our path, and everything in that path is just gone. And even on a cultural heritage perspective, all the artifacts being removed off these sites throughout black corporations, all middlemen and yes men, because they're corporate, not true to the word sovereign. And non-disclosure to its own members even. So we just had a 19-day inquiry by whatever her name is here, the Minister Ambrosio, whatever her name is. They called for it because of our discontent. The farmers want to save what's left up there and their properties, the trees, and these trees have even got protectionisms on it, but not with fast track. They'll rip them down. And it's just sad. There's so many things I want to say about trees. They're just so close to me. I'm protecting all our canoe trees and scar trees. And the waterways are getting eroded and they're just falling into the river bank and they've been there for 800 years. But it's all the Murray-Darling Basin. And they're just going for everything, uranium, rare earths. I thought uranium was illegal or some sort of policy in Victoria, but the byproduct is at Rupanyup and the tailing ponds at Donald, big massive one. And it's not the only one, they're just going all over. If you look it up, the rare earths map, just all over the place. And everything in that path is at the detriment of animals, water, even with VNI West, transmission lines, they're a massive threat. And then big turbines, the Vortex, they're building all over our nations, even up to Garriwad, even up to Bunjil's Lalau Falls, even down the outskirts of Bunjil's Cave, they're everywhere, they're on the top of our Balags, our mountains and that. And what they do is the Vortex sucks the birds in. And then our Whirlpools, our wedge-tailed eagles, are dead underneath of them and other species. It was just like going through a maze. Well, you try to put the brakes on, but the vortex pulls them in. And there's no decommissioning planned for them, 25 years life expectancy for them. There's no decommissioning because in 3 months, another company can own them. It's just a monopoly. And we got the Chinese and the Trump mob all over our country. And probably other nations as I speak, but I'm just up there trying to stand up for my country. It was a bit of a lonely job, but I wouldn't trade it for anything else. So this 19-day inquiry was with Warwick Nobel Energy. It's like a big forest just popped up out of nowhere, the size of these towers here. They're double the size of them. just like War of the Worlds, you know, sort of thing. And they're promoted as being green and all that. And I think there's a bit of a conspiracy and all that. That big American politician for years, Al Gore, whatever his name is. And everything has an ulterior motive, and it's all based on dollars, even carbon and everything like that. Everything's just monopolizes bullshit. And it's sad when you own mob through corporations and whatever. Even treaties scaring me, because this is a business agreement with the state. It's bad enough now just with their own corporations, and then a big umbrella one over that. But that's for every corporation. That's bullshit, because all of Australia is just a big registered business anyway. It's just a fucking the world's mining spot run by criminals. And yous are all slaves too, and you don't know it. So only blackfella sovereignty will rule this land, because all the sovereigns all around the world and the First Nations around the world, they're the ones that's saving the air we breathe at the moment. About 70% or something like that of destruction we prevent in doing so as First Nations all over the world. So give them a big clap instead of these bloody Al Gore people and all that sort of shit. Yeah. So trees are just like our bodies. Nervous system, veins, emotions, feelings, holders of knowledge, which way the wind blows. Every tree tells a story. Even this one I got in my hand, probably one of the rarest woods in the world. Comes from the Mirren Nation and another connecting nation, I forget, out in the deserts of Western Australia where the sandalwood grows, and even the sandalwood's that threat. And this one here is illegal to harvest, is under protections, Western Australian government, and it's called Gimlet. And that's the actual tree itself. That's the root. And she just thrives. It's a eucalypt for moisture, usually the morning mist. And she just struggles and struggles to survive. And she just winds up. That makes it stronger. So it just pulls in, everything just pulls in and it twists. There's a rare wood like Wollombi pine. and the biggest threat is fire management. State of Victoria, they're criminal in that, even in the recommendations that we have burns, cultural burns, 5%. Even that was their recommendation, at least 5% of Victoria's land mass will be culturally burned. Try like about 0.5. And a lot of farmers and that in these little towns and that, people look at the land and they think it's natural. It's not natural. They fed livestock and stuff like that. This is a major cause of bushfires as well, and it's called African belt grass. And now farmers are growing other stuff, and this stuff's just feral. It's just all over the countryside, and it's that high, dry as, and then one little flick of a flame and it's just gone, everything's gone. And the land's not in its natural state. It's got a different surface normally with ground cover and all that. But yeah, it's their own fault. It's their farming practices and their feralness of the species and all that is a big contributor to fires out in country. Anyway, good on you, Bob Brown. You've been doing this stuff for a long time. And good on you, everyone that sticks with him. Fight for country, fight for water, fight for air, fight for sea, and fight for humanity and our animals. We all deserve to live and our creatures. We're not going to be at the detriment of these corporations and corrupt governments. Blackfella sovereignty never ever ceded from Blackfella nations.
Thanks, Claude. It's painted a pretty grim picture there. Well, that's what it is. I just want to acknowledge the ancestors of this country. People didn't get an opportunity to have a say, so they were shot out. Now we're the Holocaust survivors, Aboriginal people. We're the colonised refugees and the fringe dwellers, the incarcerated people in our own country. Not bad, Oz. I really believe that there's a parallel between genocide, because that's what happened to our people. Very clear-cut case. If you have a look at the International Convention for the Prevention and the Punishment for the Crime of Genocide, 1948, Australia's guilty of everything in it. Everything.
Shame.
So that's where we are, right? And what is, I really believe there's a parallel between genocide, ecocide. And you keep projecting that way, it's called suicide. And that's where we are. It really disturbs me walking around this country today. Not that I'm walking very far these days, but just to see what's happened, even in my short time on this earth, what's gone, what's missing. You know, the rivers have been destroyed, the trees, the environment. You know, that Victoria, this is the premier state, by the way. That's why they call it, you know why it's called the premier state? Because it's the first one to constitute on the basis of terra nullis, Victoria. All right, so where it all stems out of here. This is the leader of it all. That's why they called it Victoria, after Queen Victoria. You know, what a name. You all happy with that?
No.
It's pretty disgusting, actually. But, you know, one of the saving graces is Aboriginal people never ceded their sovereignty over this place. That's the law over it, right? You know, when you go to someone else's country, what are the first thing you do? You've got to walk through their customs. Otherwise, you don't get in there. You've got to acknowledge their law and respect their law. Otherwise, you're not welcome. You're not
and you get thrown out, right? But what does Australia do when they came here? They brought their backward dark age shit law here with them and applied it here. And that's your problem, folks. On June the 3rd, coming up, a month and a half away, I got a case against a guy called Charles Windsor. He's one of the members of the big crime family over there in the UK. They call him Charles the 3rd. We call him Chuck the 3rd. Right? And that's what we want to do. We want to start with him. And that's what we can do. This is our land and our law, and we'll never give that up as Aboriginal people. We don't care what you do, think or say. Alright? We'll never give that up. And despite what's happened to us, we'll never give up. The land is our mother. I think people are starting to realise that, how connected we all are to the land, how sacred it really all is. You know, I grew up on a diet of land rights, self-determination and community control. Where is that now? You know? I really believe what happens to the Aboriginal people is going to happen to all of you. We symbolise that. What happens to our animals is what's going to happen to you as well, you know? And Victoria's got the worst rate of species depletion in the world. Same. The worst carbon footprint. Same. You know? Why are we pointing the finger at every other country in the world when we've got the worst case of genocide right here?
Yep.
Huh? That's what gets me. Anyway, I want to do something about that. We've got a case on June the 3rd in the Supreme Court. I know what's supreme about them, but this court down here, and against Charles the 3rd. Now, he's your king, isn't he?
No.
Every piece of law that you make gets royal assent, otherwise it's not valid. Don't think they haven't got a control here, these people, these foreigners. Time to turf them out.
Yep.
You know, you don't need them. I was saying, Australia's never had a revolution, unless you want to talk about the Eureka Stockade that lasted one day, right? They've never had a revolution, but they've always been revolting. So it's time to tip it over properly, folks. You know. Australia is a country that celebrates the day that colonialism arrived. Most other countries celebrate the day they chucked the British out of their country. You know, what's wrong with us here? You know, I wish I had an Australian flag with me right now, because what I'll do is just rip the Union Jack out and burn it. That's a terrorist flag. That's the butcher's apron. And what we're left with, you can get rid of that Federation Star there too. But just what you're left with is what they call the Southern Cross. That's Aboriginal dreaming story, creation story there. Flies over us naturally. Wouldn't that be a good flag, you know?
Yes.
That flag there, the Aboriginal flag. The corporation owns it now. I don't know about the Torres Strait one, but the corporation owns the Aboriginal flag, our land rights flag. We never got any land rights. We end up with this thing called naive title. It's rubbish. We don't want your law. You've got to get that in your head. We're unceded sovereign people. We've got our own law and our own constitution. It's time to step into that, folks. And it's a real way to tip this system upside down. Okay? We can defend ourselves in courts. They're bullshit. They haven't got a leg to stand on. This country's built on lies.
Yep.
And you know what their biggest fear is? Is the truth. That's a real weapon, folks. So let's get with the program. We haven't got... Time's running out. You know? Look at the water quality, the air quality, the food. It's going down the chute, folks. What are you going to do? Now let's leave something for our children. Let's do something for our ancestors. and let's do something for this land. Let's start protecting it in a real way. Thanks to the organisers today. And it's got to keep fighting, folks, no matter what.
Always was, always will be.
Aboriginal land.
Always was, always will be.
Aboriginal land.
Always was, always will be.
Aboriginal land.
Wow, how lucky was that to have two incredible speakers, Claude Douglas and Robbie Falk! Yes! We cannot protect this country without First Nations people. We cannot do it. They are the centre of this story. So we are very lucky to have them here today. Prick your ears, because you are about to hear a story. A story of what's happening to our local forests here, about how corporations move around this protected, this end of native forest logging to actually be destroying more forests than ever. So Phil's going to lay the groundwork for you on the science about fire management, and then we're going to go to Deka and hear about what Deka are doing with this information. So a little bit about Phil. Phil is an adjunct.
Is that how I say it?
Okay. Adjunct Associate Professor from Curtin University, the Australian National University, as a fire behaviour scientist. Phil worked in fire management and as a remote area firefighter. He has since developed the only peer-reviewed fire behaviour model for most Australian forests. So make Phil feel very welcome and prick your ears. Here you go. Over to Phil. Thank you so much, my friend. Thank you for being here. Come up here.
Cahil Gibran said that trees are poems the earth writes on the sky. Trees are poems the earth writes on the sky. We fell them down and turned them into paper so that we can record our emptiness. When you see an area of forest that has been burnt in Victoria or elsewhere in Eastern Australia, the reason it is being burnt is because there is a program that tells us if you burn this patch, you will save this many houses. That program is based on the idea that if you double something called the fuel load, you double the rate of spread of a fire, the speed that the fire spreads. So everything hinges on that idea. Now let me tell you a story about how forests have worked, because we need to come back to a reality check. Since Gondwana, our Australian forests have been filled with fire-sensitive species that have thrived. Long before humans walked this earth, there was a law that made these forests survive, and we can fit into this law. You see, something is fuel if it burns. If the mulch on the ground burns, then it's fuel. If that mulch can ignite the plants above it, then those plants are fuel. But if it doesn't ignite them, then the plants aren't fuel. During the black summer, 88% of the forests that burnt, the trees didn't burn. They weren't fuel, 88% of the time. And when they're not burning, they're affecting the fire because they're slowing the wind speed beneath them. So plants can either feed the fire as fuel, or they can slow and calm the fire as overstory shelter that slows the wind and creates that cool, moist microclimate. That's how a forest works. So how do plants get from being fuel into being overstory shelter? How does a forest change from something that is all fuel that feeds a fire into something that is a refuge that preserves species? Well, it doesn't need us to do that. It grows. Plants start small and get taller. It is in our colonizer minds that we think the world has to have us to take charge and be the managers and change it all. the forest works. We need to learn how to fit into that forest. The work that I've been doing now, we've looked at the fires that we've mapped across Australia. We haven't studied everywhere, but everywhere that we have studied, we've found the same trend. If you burn a forest, you get a few short years where you've got clear ground and fires stop. Then you've got decades where those plants are regrowing from the ground as fuel, becoming bigger and bigger, creating bigger and bigger flames until eventually they get to the point where they start becoming overstory shelter and the flames can't reach them anymore. And what we found is that all of the bushfires happen in the regrowth. We get people saying, in response to what I'm putting forward here, people will say, well, that's just a pipe dream. You can't get to these old forests anymore. We've got climate change. We've got everything's changed. You can't keep fire out for that long. The fire that was up at the Murray River there a couple of months ago, you know, the last bushfire that burnt that country there was a bit over 40 years ago. That means that if that country, if that forest had been left alone for that 40 years, it would have been in that long unburnt state that keeps fires small and keeps flames small. But it wasn't left alone. Between 10 and 15 years ago, there was a series of prescribed burns out there that lit it up, and so as a result, that fire took off in dense regrowth. We can live in this country. We can use fire in this country. First Nations knew how to use fire in this country, knew how to modify patches of ground so that you can garden what you need to do. But the whole key was to not be greedy bastards, to not take more than our share, to not try and change the whole landscape. You see, forests can create places of peace. I've come from Dharawal country this morning in the New South Wales south coast. Dharawal have a tradition of an area that they call Yandellara. It means peace country. You can only get to Yandellara when certain trees there are allowed to be left alone. Those trees are killed by the smallest fire, but you create this peace country that is cool in summer, that stops fires. Yandellara stopped an arson lit fire on the edge of Wollongong in the middle of the black summer. Nobody was there to do it. You don't survive for tens of thousands of years without knowing how this country works, without cooperating with this. We have got to wise up, because part of our colonizer thinking is that we have to take charge, we have to take control and fix things, and that if we don't, if we're locking up country, we call it, if we're leaving country alone, if we're doing nothing, that is offensive to us, because we've got this idea that unless you have changed country, then it is terra nullius. The forests know how to do their thing. We have got to learn to cooperate with them. Forests are fortresses that the earth builds to protect her children. We burn them down because we are afraid of any strength that we didn't create ourselves. Thanks very much.
Wow. You've been listening to a recording of speeches from the March for Forests on the 22nd of March 2026, organised by the Bob Brown Foundation. We're nearing the end of our show, and stay tuned every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the Doin' Time show. Take care of each other.
As long as you a true fella, as long as you are a real fella. All the people of different races, with different lives, in different places, it doesn't matter what your name is, we got to have lots of changes. We need more brothers if we're to make it. We need more sisters if we're to save it. Are you the one who's gonna stand up and be counted? Are you the one who's gonna be there when we shout it?
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.